Congress has voted to strip the names of Confederate generals from several Southern Army bases. President Trump has vowed that won't happen. The issue, though, might not be resolved before Election Day. Meanwhile, the Navy is charting a whole new course. Jay Price has this report for WUNC's American Homefront Project.
Henry Kissinger called supercarriers 100,000 tons of diplomacy. That power is reflected in the Navy's conventions for naming them, the USS John F. Kennedy, the Reagan, the Lincoln. But one supercarrier now on the drawing boards breaks sharply with tradition, the USS Doris Miller.
That is the first time a ship of that class would be named after, one, an enlisted person and an African-American.
Regina Akers is a historian with the Naval History and Heritage Command. Doris Dory Miller was one of the first American heroes of World War II. During the attack on Pearl Harbor, as his ship, the USS West Virginia, was sinking, the powerfully built Miller helped move his dying captain to better cover, then jumped behind a machine gun and shot at Japanese planes until his ammunition was gone. Then he began rescuing sailors from the fiery waters of the harbor. As a black sailor in 1941, he wasn't even supposed to fire a gun.
One of the ways in which the Navy discriminated against African Americans was that they limited them to certain types of jobs, or what we call ratings in the Navy. Many were messmen or stewards. Dory Miller was a messman, which meant that he basically took care of an officer, laid out his clothes, shined his shoes, and served meals.
An official Navy commendation list of those whose actions during the attack stood out mentioned a black sailor, but it didn't bother to name Miller, a 22-year-old sharecropper's son from Waco, Texas.
It made two lines in the newspapers. The Pittsburgh Courier thought he should be recognized and honored.
That's Frank Bolden, who was a war correspondent for the Courier, one of the leading black newspapers of the day. He spoke in an interview with the Freedom Forum before his death in 2003. The black press knew that by getting this unnamed sailor proper recognition, in some sense they would be getting all black people their due and undermine a stereotype that African Americans weren't any good in combat.
We spent $7,000 working to find out who Dory Miller was. P.L. Pratt, as executive editor of the Pittsburgh Courier, found out who he was. And we made Dory Miller a hero.
Again, Regina Akers.
The African-American community just swells up with pride. But at the same time, they're mad at the Navy for not having formally shared what Dory Miller did.
Black leaders at the time were already pressuring President Franklin D. Roosevelt for more opportunities for African Americans in the booming war industry and in the military. Roosevelt barely averted a march on Washington at one point. Miller was awarded a letter of commendation, but the black press began campaigning for a medal. And Admiral Chester Nimitz, the commander of the Pacific Fleet, wanted to take the bold step of upgrading that commendation to the Navy Cross, then the third highest honor for heroism.
So in Nimitz's mind, the award would be good for the Navy and contradict the institutional racism that the Navy was known for.
Roosevelt, eager to keep the nation united behind the war effort, agreed. Miller's heroism was all but ignored by white America, but in the black community,
Miller, just like the flip of a switch, becomes a celebrity. He becomes one of the first heroes, period, of the war, but certainly one of the first African-American heroes of the war. He was on recruitment posters. His image was everywhere.
And in Miller, suddenly the black newspapers like the Courier had a weapon they'd been looking for.
He was a catalyst that gave them a lot of strength very early in the war.
Baylor University history professor Michael Parrish is co-author of Doris Miller, Pearl Harbor, and the Birth of the Civil Rights Movement. He says that in war after war, African Americans had fought for their country, hoping their service would be rewarded with more rights, then had their hopes dashed, until Miller stepped behind that gun.
Things came together at Pearl Harbor for Doris Miller and for the civil rights movement, probably to maximum effect. So World War II was really the turning point in that long struggle.
Even before he got the medal, the Navy began training black sailors for jobs like gunner's mate, radio man, radar operator. Later, it began commissioning black officers. Finally, in 1948, President Harry S. Truman ordered the military desegregated. All of that, Parrish said, can be traced to Dory Miller. This wasn't lost on Black America, even as the changes Miller helped spur were taking place. There were songs, even poets were inspired. In 1943, Langston Hughes wrote, "When Dory Miller took gun in hand, Jim Crow started his last stand." Another renowned Black poet, Gwendolyn Brooks, was at once oblique and ferocious.
"I had to kick their law into their teeth in order to save them."
Here she reads from Negro Hero to suggest Dory Miller.
"Am I clean enough to kill for them? Do they wish me to kill for them? Or is my place, while death licks his lips and strides to them, in the galley still? In a southern city, a white man said, indeed, I'd rather be dead. Indeed, I'd rather be shot in the head or ridden to waste on the back of a flood than saved by the drop of a black man's blood. Naturally, the important thing is I helped to save them, them and a part of their democracy, even if I had to kick their law into their teeth in order to do that for them. And I am feeling well and settled in myself because I believe it was a good job, despite this possible horror, that they might prefer the preservation of their law in all its sick dignity and their knives to the continuation of their creed and their lives."
Parrish's own father was aboard another ship at Pearl Harbor, just a few hundred yards from Miller. Parrish says he got a startling lesson when he asked what his father knew about Miller's exploits.
"He looked at me and he shook his head and said, I never heard of him at the time. White and black military personnel lived in two separate worlds."
He says putting Miller's name on the nation's most powerful symbol of military might offers a teaching moment, however late. The decision to name the new supercarrier for Miller was made by Thomas Modley, who was acting Secretary of the Navy until April.
"I think it was probably long overdue."
Modley says it simply seemed like the right thing to do, given the U.S. Navy's diversity, especially compared to the navies of other nations.
"The Navy is made up of every single element of our population. It's probably the most diverse representation of the country. We have about 340,000 active duty sailors, and they come from every part of the country, every skin color, every ethnicity."
And it was also the right thing, he said, to give a nod to enlisted sailors, too. After all, the United States isn't a monarchy. Dory Miller didn't live to see the lasting effects of his heroics. He went back to sea in the Pacific, and in 1943, his ship was torpedoed and sank. Miller was among the 644 sailors who died. His body was never found. His name, though, still graces schools, roads, and community centers around the country. And the Navy, that at first wouldn't even share that name, will soon give it equal footing with the names of presidents. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.